Welcome to the Joseph Smith Podcast, presented by BYU Speeches, featuring more than a half century's worth of devotionals and forums exploring the prophet's life and teachings. Be sure to check out our other podcasts by searching BYU Speeches wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting speeches.byu.edu/podcasts.
Some seem to believe that faith and questions are antithetical. Such could not be further from the truth. The restoration itself was unfolded by the proper and necessary melding of both. The prophet Joseph Smith had both faith and questions. Indeed, the passage of scripture that led Joseph to the sacred grove experience includes both a question and the promise of an answer based on the asker's faith. I marvel each time I consider the wonderful way in which the prophet Joseph Smith used proper questions, not only to enhance his knowledge, but also to enlarge his faith. You know of his first vision experience. Those of you who have served as missionaries have recounted it many, many times. Even after these many years since I was a young missionary, I am moved by rereading his history frequently and commend it to you for your regular reexamination. As Joseph described his family circumstances and the religious environment in which he was growing up as a young boy, he was exposed to significant religious fervor and difference of opinion among the various denominations, all proclaiming to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to have the truth. Let me pick up his account. In the midst of this war of words and the tumult of opinions, I often said to myself, "What is to be done? Who of all these parties are right, or are they all wrong together? If any one of them be right, which is it, and how shall I know it?" I would submit to you that these three questions constitute much more than Joseph's passive curiosity. They allowed him to focus on resolving his own personal dilemma, and also prepared him to have that experience so critical to the lives of all of us. Let me return to Joseph's history. While I was laboring under the extreme difficulties caused by the contests of these parties of religionists, I was one day reading the Epistle of James, 1st chapter and 5th verse, which reads, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." While the prophet Joseph did not go on to share the following verses in his formal history, we should remember that they are vital components in receiving the answers to the questions that Joseph posed, as well as the ones we might ask ourselves. Let me continue with the narrative of James. "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." The operative phrase, "but let him ask in faith," gives a basic secret. Faith without wavering is necessary for receiving the answers we desire. While absolutely essential in obtaining answers to the questions we ask through prayer, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father's plan is also helpful in obtaining answers to other important questions that we would like to ask. Before we leave the prophet Joseph's history, it is instructive to consider other queries posed by the young prophet during those formative years of the restoration of the gospel. One of the fundamental truths about asking proper questions in faith and in the proper way is that the answer received may not be that which was expected or hoped for, and sometimes is even an answer to a more important or fundamental question than we had thought to ask. Again, quoting from the experience of the prophet Joseph, "My object in going to inquire of the Lord was to know which of all the sects was right, that I might know which to join. No sooner, therefore, did I get possession of myself, so as to be able to speak, than I asked the personages who stood above me in the light, which of all the sects was right. For at this time it had never entered in my heart that they all were wrong, and which I should join." Note the pointed answer that he received. "I was answered that I must join none of them," with the explanation that is known to all of us. Following this clarification, Joseph reports, "He again forbade me to join with any of them, and many other things did he say unto me which I cannot write at this time." It seems as though the adversary was aware at a very early period of my life that I was destined to prove a disturber and an annoyer of his kingdom. Else why should the powers of darkness combine against me? Why the opposition and persecution that arose against me almost in my infancy? Joseph Smith, although very young, reflexively understood another important principle related to proper questions. I refer to the questions that he asked himself as he tried to understand the answers that he had received from the Father and the Son. Let's again return to his words. It caused me serious reflection then, and often has since, how very strange it was that an obscure boy of a little over 14 years of age, and one too who was doomed to the necessity of obtaining a scanty maintenance by his daily labor, should be thought a character of sufficient importance to attract the attention of the great ones of the most popular sex of the day, and in a manner to create in them a spirit of the most bitter persecution and reviling. But strange or not, so it was, and it was often the cause of great sorrow to myself. So it was with me. I had actually seen a light, and in the midst of that light I saw two personages, and they did in reality speak to me. And though I was hated and persecuted for saying that I had seen a vision, yet it was true. And while they were persecuting me, reviling me, and speaking all manner of evil against me for so saying, I was led to say in my heart, "Why persecute me for telling the truth? I have actually seen a vision. And who am I that I can withstand God? Or why does the world think to make me deny what I have actually seen? For I had seen a vision, and I knew it, and I knew that God knew it. And I could not deny it. Neither dared I do it. At least I knew that by so doing I would offend God and come under condemnation." These are good questions. After mentioning something of the challenges that were consistent in his life for the next period of years, Joseph again reports an experience derived from his proper questioning. When on the evening of the above-mentioned 21st of September, after I had retired to my bed for the night, I betook myself to prayer and supplication to Almighty God for forgiveness of all my sins and follies, and also for a manifestation to me that I might know of my state and standing before Him. For I had full confidence in obtaining the divine manifestation as I had previously had one. We then know of the events which the angel Moroni that occupied the entire night, as well as the next day, and the tremendous import they had not only for Joseph, but for all of us with the coming forth of the Book of Mormon. Speaking of the translation of the Book of Mormon, we recognize that Joseph's capacity to ask and his understanding of the importance of proper questions was honed and developed during this period of time. Let me draw your attention to his words again. We, meaning Joseph and Oliver Cowdery, still continued the work of translation when in the ensuing month, that was May of 1829, we on a certain day went into the woods to pray and inquire of the Lord respecting baptism for the remission of sins that we found mentioned in the translation of the plates. While we were thus employed, praying and calling upon the Lord, a messenger from heaven descended in a cloud of light, and having laid his hands upon us, he ordained us. We know that this is when Joseph and Oliver Cowdery were ordained to the Aaronic priesthood, given instruction as to how baptism would properly be performed, how they should be baptized, and also taught and given promises about other great and significant events that were about to transpire in their lives and in the restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We could spend much more time than we have allotted to us today in giving other examples where the prophet Joseph asked the appropriate questions and received the doctrinal insights and understandings that are so precious to us in our day. One need only peruse the Doctrine and Covenants and recognize that, in fact, virtually all of these revelations, both to individuals and the church generally, came in response to carefully reasoned and faith-laden supplications to our Father in heaven. But even with the importance of these good questions, we must remember, as Elder Neil A. Maxwell said, there are more good answers than we have good questions.
You've been listening to the Joseph Smith Podcast, presented by BYU Speeches. Please check out our other podcasts of recent speeches, classic speeches, and BYU Speeches compilations on love and marriage, overcoming adversity, by study and by faith, Come Follow Me, and Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. Go to speeches.byu.edu and click on podcasts for more information. You can also find all BYU Speeches podcasts at your preferred podcast provider.